It's getting harder to make ends meet in the underworld of Japanese organized crime. Yakuza crime groups are now struggling under tougher laws and heightened security. What's more, there is a distinct lack of young blood recruits to refresh state ranks. But organized crime in Japan won't be disappearing anytime soon. Brian Shi reports.
When Kazushige Okazaki retired from Yakuza life over 15 years ago, he had to slice off his left-hand ring finger up to the first knuckle as penance. He had performed a similar penance before that on his left pinky for fighting with other gangsters, a Yakuza no-no. Like many would-be professional criminals here, he got his first taste of organized crime in high school as a way to make money and escape an abusive, broken family. And before he really knew it, he says, he was a mid-level Yakuza running pyramid schemes around the cities of Kawasaki and Yokohama.
I never let innocent people get involved, but it never occurred to me at all that this was wrong.
After 25 years with the Yakuza and the fight that led to his severed pinky, Okazaki quit. He had had enough. Since then, he has kept tabs on his fellow Yakuza and says he doesn't like what he sees.
They strut around a lot when they walk, but they're really kind of pathetic when you look closely. All the loyalty and humanity have really disappeared.
The crime groups that are collectively known as the Yakuza started centuries ago as illegal gambling groups. The name Yakuza, in fact, means the weakest hand in an old Japanese card game. Over time, the groups morphed into informal labor pools, and they became rented muscle for the government to put down labor strikes and to hound communists. In their more modern, sinister forms, they engage in prostitution, drugs, blackmail, and most recently, white-collar crime.
They're incredibly entrepreneurial.
Velisarios Katalus has just finished a book on contemporary organized crime in Japan. Unlike broader Japanese society, the Yakuza is incredibly nimble, he says, adept at generating new income when old avenues are cut off. When a new law and police crackdown all but ended corporate blackmail, the Yakuza fanned out across Japan, brushed up on environmental regulations, and in the last few years started showing up at local government offices.
One way they do that is by setting up bogus environmental groups. And when a local government goes to begin some minor public works project, they turn up and they say, "We don't think you're meeting environmental standards." And the threat is implicit. It pays off, or we're going to make your lives really difficult.
The Yakuza are equally good at hiding in plain sight, disguising themselves as right-wing political groups, human rights organizations, or even non-profits to gain protected legal status and duck the police. The Yakuza's well-recognized ties to the government also shelter them to a significant degree. But in recent years, the Yakuza have found it hard to recruit new members.
The Japanese underworld usually reflects the trends in broader Japanese society only in extremis. You have aging in Japanese society. It's much worse in underworld circles. There are far fewer young people willing to go into gangland life today than there were 10 or 15 years ago.
Like Okazaki, lots of Yakuza have left the life of crime. Understandably, though, ex-Yakuza aren't warmly welcomed by Japanese society, which offers few second chances. And whole body tattoos or missing fingers are dead giveaways. That's why hundreds of former gangsters trying to go legit have come to one woman for help. Maria Nino started a clinic 17 years ago to provide silicone prosthetic body parts. She's a minor celebrity in Japan, best known for breast replacements for cancer victims and customized fingers for Yakuza. The new fingers are hollow, slip over the remaining stumps, and at least in Okazaki's case are flawless, except for a small seam where they attach. She says the most difficult cases are the gangsters who made so many mistakes they don't even have a nub left. Her first finger client, introduced to her by a police officer, was a Yakuza godfather who wanted out.
His daughter was getting married. He was a Buddhist, and so he would have to show his hands in front of his relatives at the annual ceremonies. They didn't know he was involved in organized crime. Up until then, he apparently wrapped his hands in bandages to hide them. But he couldn't keep doing that year after year. He came to erase his past. I was afraid, but I realized that he was the one who was nervous. When I had to make a mold, both of his hands were trembling.
Despite their best efforts to return to mainstream society, many Yakuza don't make it. Their numbers dipped to 80,000 in the mid-90s, but they're back up to 90,000, according to the latest police figures. Okazaki says those aren't new recruits. Those are former members like himself who tried to get out, found the straight world too tough, and came back.
Even if they don't like it, these are people that don't have anything else. They might say they don't like the Yakuza and want to leave, but it's really hard to make a living in that other world. That's why everyone comes back. Almost everyone, 90%.
While he doesn't call them friends, Okazaki still meets up with his former colleagues, who occasionally give him money. He says he doesn't like what the Yakuza have become, but when he hears of their latest scams, he smiles a little and says he wonders how they come up with these things. For NPR News, this is Brian Sheehan, Tokyo.